The spacecraft is spinning to provide stability to the probe because we're about to launch the probe. This is July 13th. Last year, you'll see the probe just pushed off gently from the spacecraft. As the probe was launched on its way, the only thing running on the probe was a clock. We had no further communication with the probe until December 7th. We had to assume that the clock on the probe would turn it on and start its instruments running and start its transmitter transmitting at the right time. We had no way to send it any commands or anything. It was launched and that was it. Now, the spacecraft would have followed the probe into Jupiter's atmosphere unless we corrected its trajectory so that within a few days we fired the main engine of the spacecraft to move it off of its impact course so it would not follow the probe into Jupiter. Move it just far enough away from Jupiter so that it was above the probe and could receive the data from the probe. The probe entered into this region in the atmosphere right here, one of these open spots in the cloud deck. And that small white spot is supposed to indicate roughly where it went in. The simulation in a minute will show you, will try to characterize the amount of heat. The temperature on the nose of the shield was twice that of the sun as it was slowing down from 170,000 kilometers per hour down to a few hundred kilometers per hour. Here's the chute being deployed, first the small chute, followed by the main chute right here. Then that will slow the probe down, and the heat shield will then be lost, let go to fall down into the atmosphere separately. The data now begins at a temperature of about minus 150 centigrade Celsius, and as it drops down to the atmosphere, it's measuring the temperature of the gas. We were measuring the amount of light and heat flowing up out of the atmosphere as the probe rotated at 30 times a minute, looking in all directions. And as we went down in the clouds, it became darker, and by the end of the 200-kilometer mission, essentially we had gotten down to where it was quite dark. We had both a optical detector to look for lightning flashes, as well as a radio receiver to listen for static. We did find lightning flashes, but none very near where the probe went in, because lightning is associated with clouds, and so the lightning came from some distance away. Here you can see the probe swinging back and forth. It turns out that there was a very bumpy ride. There was a lot of atmospheric turbulence. About twice a second, the probe was being bumped with accelerations, a bumpy acceleration, 6% that of the acceleration of gravity. So this was a very, very bumpy ride because the atmosphere is very turbulent. And that is, I think, linked to another surprising observation that I'll come back to in just a moment. But the probe essentially plunged about 200 kilometers down into the atmosphere. That's it for the tape, thanks. Where the temperature got to be something like 150 Celsius. So the probe started working at about minus 150. By the time it got up to plus 150, it failed. Not surprising. It was never designed to actually work at that high a temperature. The probe will then continue for another day, sinking into the atmosphere, getting hotter and hotter, eventually melting and evaporating and becoming part of Jupiter. So within a day, the probe had completely gone. It was gone. It's now part of Jupiter. But in that 57 minutes, it returned the data that had been planned for so many years. Now, what was found? This is, if we'd gone into the region where the clouds were, which is 99% of the atmosphere, we expected to find three cloud levels. The top cloud level, which is the one you see in the image, which is white, which is ammonia ice crystals, common everyday household ammonia, if you like, but in ice form because it's cold. Below that, we expected to find a cloud where the ammonia and sulfur had combined to make another compound. And finally, still further down in the atmosphere, we expected to find water clouds, clouds like we have here on Earth, where the temperature got warm enough, if you like, that we were at the freezing point of water rather than at the freezing point of ammonia. Well, the probe went into a clear region, found very faint evidence of this cloud deck, very faint evidence of this cloud deck, because it essentially was a clear region, and no evidence at all of the water cloud. So that's that. But the absence of the water cloud at this level is perhaps related to the abundance, how much water is in the atmosphere, and I'll come back to that in just a moment. The winds that we, here are the winds that we measured with Voyager back in 1979. You can see the scale down here in the yellow line. Here's the equator, and you can see the yellow line says that at the equator there's a jet stream of about 100 meters per second, 360 kilometers per hour to the east. Just like here on Earth, there are jet streams. Now on Earth, the jet streams, the winds, if you like, are driven by sunlight. The incidence of sunlight creates the energy which drives the winds in the Earth's atmosphere. If the incidence of sunlight, solar heating, created this jet stream pattern, then one would expect as we went down into the atmosphere where there was no longer any sunlight, that the winds would die out. We found just the opposite. The winds at the top where the clouds are 360 kilometers per hour. Down 100 kilometers or so and on down in, it's 540 kilometers per hour. The winds speed up as we go down in the atmosphere. That is consistent with the idea that the winds are driven not primarily by sunlight, but by the heat left that's coming up from the inside of Jupiter, heat that's left over from when Jupiter formed 4.5 billion years ago. Because when the planet forms, all the material collapses to make a planet, a lot of energy is created because of all the collapse of the material onto Jupiter. That is stored in the sense of heat. Jupiter is a very good insulator, and it keeps that heat even for 4.5 billion years, and there's still a little bit of heat left coming out of Jupiter. And that heat, evidently, is what is driving the winds. That heat is what's driving the turbulence, which was shaking the probe twice a second as it plunged into the atmosphere. So the weather system on Jupiter, in that sense, is distinctly different in its fundamental driving factor than is the weather system here on Earth, which is driven by the incidence of sunlight. Another surprise had to do with the question of what is Jupiter made of. We know that most of Jupiter is the lightest gas known, hydrogen. The next most abundant gas in the atmosphere is the next most abundant gas in the universe, helium. The question is, what about oxygen? In particular, oxygen, which in this atmosphere will be in the form of water, H2O. We expected that there would be more oxygen, more water in the atmosphere of Jupiter than, say, would be typical if Jupiter were made of the same material as the Sun. Now you say, why is that? Because after all, the Sun and the planets formed out of the same disk of material. That's because the model we have for the way Jupiter formed is that that the solid material, the rocks, and at Jupiter, the icy comets aggregated to make a core of material on which then the gas, the hydrogen and the helium, eventually imploded. And therefore, we would expect that there would be an extra abundance of water from the icy comets, such as Shoemaker-Levy, which made these brown spots just a few years ago, that over the during the initial formation phase and for the many years afterwards, that Jupiter was a huge vacuum cleaner, cleaning up the comets in the outer solar system. And that we would find perhaps 10 times more water in Jupiter's atmosphere than we would expect if Jupiter were just the same as the Sun. Turns out, Jupiter doesn't even have as much water as the Sun would suggest. It has less. That is a big problem. Nature has obviously found a way to do that. We haven't figured out how nature has done it, though, because our models all suggested, and our earlier data all suggested, we would find lots of water. We found very little water. It's a very dry atmosphere. Now, what might explain that? Well, perhaps our ideas that it was cold enough where Jupiter formed that there were a lot of icy bodies, maybe that's wrong. Maybe it was a little bit too warm and most of the comets were further out. Or maybe the comets really are there, but somehow there's a physical process that confines the water deeper in the atmosphere. That's not what our physics tells us should be the case, but nature has a way of solving physics differently than sometimes we're smart enough to appreciate. In any case, this is a big surprise and one which will probably puzzle some of the planetary scientists for at least some years to come.